It's Good Friday, and tonight that's really what we want to do. This is our opportunity to remember. It's to remember God's story, and to remember our story is God's story. That we were fallen, and He came to us. That we were shattered, but He came to make us new. And I don't want to go too quickly from this evening here. We don't want to go too quickly into the resurrection, because we'll do that on Sunday. But tonight we just want to sit and feel maybe even that heaviness of the crucifixion, what that was. And tonight we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture verses. Don't worry, I'm going to have them all up on the screen here for us so we can just bounce around and just kind of look at those here tonight. But we're going to look at a lot of verses here tonight that just show us ourselves, who we are. And we're going to see also along with that, more importantly, what Jesus has done for us because of the cross. So we're going to jump right into this. Genesis chapter 2. I'm going all the way back to the beginning. It tells us in verse 5, it says, "When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed." And so out of the dirt, God, the Creator, made human beings. He made us in His own image. And in His image, they would cultivate and create and make this world a beautiful place, just as God intended for it to be. Got some good bass going on in that, huh? I got a good bass voice tonight. But not just that, though. God didn't just put them into the world. He put them into a garden. A garden. Think about this tonight. God placed them in a garden. It was a place for them to work and execute power and dominion. It was a place for them to experience God's presence with them. It was a place where future generations would learn to know God, learn about God, and they would learn about themselves, who they are. And not just to learn, but to watch and to walk and to experience God walking in the cool of the day. This is the garden. It's the garden where their story began, but not even just their story, it's where our story began. Let's go a little farther. Genesis 3, verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened." Dropping down to verse 16 in chapter 3 of Genesis, it says, And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And so out of the dirt, God created a masterpiece. And with this simple bite of disobedience, this masterpiece was returned to the dirt. What was once good and life-giving was now filled with toils and thistles and thorns. And now they were filled with all of these questions. Who am I now? What am I meant to be? What do I do, or what should I do? And those questions, they drive us deeper into the dirt. And as we seek to right the wrongs in our lives, and as we try to return to the safety of the garden, we see that sin is what banished them from the garden. We go to Isaiah 51. It tells us, "For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wildernesses like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait." And so out of the garden and into the wilderness, that's where they went. But it was not without hope. The Bible is filled with glimmers of this future hope, where salvation and righteousness and justice, they come and they meet together. Where the beautiful mystery of what was to come, the Creator would take on flesh. And he would take on the vulnerabilities of the created. That the one who is called holy, holy, holy would take on filth and sin. That the judge and king would come and crush it once and for all. He would crush sin once and for all. And this punishment would bring us deep healing and peace. We get to Matthew chapter 26. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And in Luke chapter 23, Jesus is on the cross. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, paradise, this isn't some vague idea of heaven. The word paradise goes all the way back and was used all the way back in Genesis of the garden. And so when Jesus uses this word, Jesus, the creator, is inviting the thief back into the garden again. The place where sin and death are gone, where identity is restored, the place where we're made right with God, where relationships are made right with Him and they're made good. This thief here, he knows his sin. He doesn't try to hide it. He doesn't try to deny it. But in humility, he simply asks for the grace that he knows he doesn't deserve. And this road back to the garden is difficult and dark, and it only comes through the blood of Jesus and what he has done for us. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land, all the land, until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then in Psalm, why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Luke 23. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled there, or for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. John 19. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, and is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one yet had been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Out of the dirt, the Creator made his masterpiece, Genesis. He places them into the garden in Genesis. And then sin casts them out back into the dirt, and God banishes them out of the garden. But it is through Jesus, his death on the cross, that the seeds of restoration are now planted. See, Jesus on our behalf is placed into the ground. And the ground isn't just dirt. It's a tomb. It's in this garden, this place, that Jesus is preparing to make all things new. And too often we just want miracles and power. Other times we just want wisdom and truth. What God offers us all is first the cross. It's first the cross. The earliest believers called the cross the wisdom of God and the power of God. This is a stumbling block for us to consider even sometimes today, that both power and wisdom led Jesus to the cross. People don't want to think about this very often. Really, who respects suffering? Who respects that? But his suffering brought us life. His suffering brought us newness. His suffering brought us him. And once you've been to the cross, everything changes. Stumbling blocks and foolishness turn into power and wisdom. The cross changes everything. Jesus said on the cross, "Why have you forsaken me?" And he also said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Like, how can those two go together? Even at his death, Jesus showed us how to trust God the Father beyond the circumstances we are facing right then. How we can trust him and look to him and know that he is with us. Jesus, he predicted his death, but not only did he predict his death, he predicted his resurrection. And it's one thing to predict the future. It's quite another, though, to go to the cross willingly. And at least three times, if not four, Jesus shared his destiny with the disciples. And they didn't understand it. More challenging still is the fact that Jesus embraced this destiny by faith. He knew the Father's promise of the resurrection, but death still laid in front of him. He still had to go to the cross. And death is still death, even for Jesus. It was his trust in the Father's promise that caused him to wager everything that he had. His very life. And as a man, Jesus modeled how to truly trust and know the God the Father. This is how we are to trust God in our lives. And to understand that he is working no matter what it is going on in our lives and happening in our lives, we can trust him. He is with us. And he did all of this for us so that we could be made new. He did this so that we could trust God the Father with our lives. He did this to bring us to him. And we have to trust him just as he trusted the Father. And so whatever it is that you are facing right now in your life, it could be suffering, it could be hardship, it could be pain, it could be joy. I don't know what it is. Maybe you just need Jesus in your life today. You never gave your life to him. You've never asked him to come into my life and be the Lord of my life, be my Savior, forgive me of my sins. Maybe that's what you need tonight. But tonight, you can trust him because we're reminded of what Jesus did on the cross. All throughout it, Jesus trusted the Father, the plan. Jesus has provided the way for us to be forgiven, for us to enter into the garden, the paradise. Would you bow your heads with me this evening? The garden, paradise. This is what Jesus was bringing for us. Back to that relationship with him, to truly know him, that we can be set right, that we can have peace with God. This is what the cross was all for. It was to win the battle, be victorious over death and sin and Satan. And Jesus said, "I've done it all for you. It is finished." This is what we remember on Good Friday. It is finished. Jesus paid the price. And so he calls us to come to him, to not look to ourselves or to anything else to be our Savior, to show that we are worthy of him. It is all because of what Jesus has done, and Jesus has paid the complete price that we could never pay ourselves. And so tonight, God, we just remember, we reflect and remember what you have done for us on the cross. And we'll get to the resurrection in a couple of days. But tonight we want to just sit with that. You going to the cross for us. What that means for us. God, we want what you want. God, we want you. And to have you, God, Lord, we look to Jesus. We say, Jesus, come, be a part of my life, be my life, lead my life, be my Savior, be my King, be my God. And we thank you. With all of our being, we thank you tonight, Jesus, for what you did for us, that you gave all of yourself on the cross for us. And God, we know Sunday's coming. We know resurrection is coming. But we just want to thank you so much for the cross tonight. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.